Today on the Nerdiest Podcast, we'll be talking about one of the biggest movies of the year, Wicked, for good, but also giving a review of what turned out to be a better movie, Zootopia 2, and also digging into the Netflix and Warner Brothers merger with a special guest. You will not want to miss it. Hello and welcome to the Nerdiest Podcast, a show where nerds talk about nerdy things. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mr. Jackson Glass. And today, we are digging into what we thought would be one of the biggest movies of the year, Wicked for Good. And I would say that it is, but we're also going to talk about what ended up being the actual biggest movie of the year, Zootopia 2, giving our thoughts. Also, there's some huge news that we just couldn't miss up on, and that is the Warner Brothers Netflix deal that is we're just going to get into in a minute. And today I'm joined not by Nick with no K, as always. I'm joined by a very special guest that I'm very excited about, my lovely wife, Amy.
Hey, everybody. I am the Amy Glass.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is her podcast debut.
It is. I have never been on a podcast before, so
this is very exciting.
This is very, very much a new experience for me. So going out of my comfort zone, but in a way, I feel like I'm in the best podcast I could be in.
Yes.
Because I am also, like Jackson and Nick, a nerd.
Yes.
So I kind of fit in here.
We're
so
very excited.
I'm on my first podcast. I'm the best one I could be on.
Very glad you're here. We also brought Amy on because she is a Broadway expert, as I would consider her.
Yes. Yes.
And we felt like Wicked was a wonderful time to bring this up. So before we get into anything, let me ask you. Also, if you're watching on the video, we're sitting on our couch right now. This is just going to be super cash. You may have just heard our dryer finish.
Yeah, that was mine.
And you know what?
It's fine.
It
was my laundry.
It's going to be great. We're doing it live. Amy, let me just ask you this as a new friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did have a policy that was podcast guests is a wife privilege, as mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so as the first person to exert this privilege, mm-hmm. I will say thank you for being here. And also just a little like context to you. What do you feel like would be your specialty? Like if you could give a 3-hour presentation, like on like some nerdy thing that you just like could dig into immediately, what would you say is your specialty?
Probably music, mm-hmm. honestly, that or Disney World. like if I could give you like guide to just going through Disney and exploring all the things. I try to do that to my coworkers a lot. Like one of my coworkers, I was like, you're only an hour away from Disney. Here's all the things you can do mm-hmm. for almost free. So you can see a fireworks show for free.
Right.
So I probably could go through Disney World and like just give top pointers and things to do. Cause I love travel. So mm-hmm. I could talk about that for a really long time, probably too long. And also just music in general. So like Jackson said earlier, I absolutely love music and I love Broadway specifically. And no, I was never a theater kid, actually. I've never been in a musical, never acted, never sang in front of people. That was never my scene, but I absolutely love music. So anything from rock and roll. My dad mm-hmm. does rock 101 growing up with us. So we always had to know the rock star and what they're singing. Mm-hmm. So anything from rock to jazz, we had a jazz band at our wedding. So mm-hmm. that was per
Very
request
classy.
Of me. That was mm-hmm. a dream come true. and any kind of music. So big genre, any genre.
Yeah.
But Broadway specifically is my kind of,
I guess, niche.
Just because I love it. It's storytelling at its finest, sometimes at its worst too. So that's always interesting to see. but I absolutely love just the storytelling, and how powerful the music can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to just turn on and hear a story be told to you. And mm-hmm. I love storytelling. So, yeah.
I don't think you're selling yourself short because one of the first things that was attractive to you from my perspective was your Star Wars knowledge.
That is, yeah, there's that too. Like I said, it's nerdiness all around. Yes. So, yeah. I mean, I would say I'm very rusty on my Star Wars knowledge now. But back in the day.
It used to be so much easier to be a Star Wars fan.
Yeah. And now there's too many things. And I'm just like, you know, being a full-time working adult and married and mm-hmm. with all the other stuff going on, I just have kind of gotten rusty on that skill. So I'm a little behind. I haven't seen all the shows. You know, I've seen Ahsoka. I haven't seen Andor yet. Everybody mm-hmm. says, Amy, you'll love Andor. You got to watch it. So, you know, I'm a little behind. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I used to know all the Star Wars trivia when, you know, it was when just it was like the movies and
like nine
the Clone
movies
Wars
and, the Clone
and
Wars.
All that. Yeah, I love the Clone Wars. So mm-hmm. trying to get Jackson to watch
Amy's
it with
on
me
the
one
effort
day.
To get me to watch it.
Even if it's just the last, you know, mm-hmm. just the key parts with Ahsoka in the last season, I'll take what mm-hmm. I can get. But we'll
Very
see.
Good. Very good.
We'll see what happens.
Well, before we get too far, I will. There was some incredible news that I was not intending to cover on this episode, and we will probably continue to follow this news as it develops. And I know Nick will want to talk about it as well. But in a just crazy turn of events at the end of the year, this like Q4 2025, Netflix announces its bid for Warner Brothers Studios.
That's wild to me.
That's insane.
And he told me that this morning, and I was like, that's actually
crazy.
Well,
you also think about, like, old Hollywood and, like, the studio system. Like, we just live in remediation because it's like, mm-hmm. oh, we're consolidating, and then we expanded to 100 studios, mm-hmm. and then we consolidate to 4, and then we expand. So there's a lot of questions about monopoly law going on this merger. But I wrote down a couple stats just so we could go on. And essentially, I have not heard why Warner Brothers was up for sale in the first place. I think we all kind of picked up on them struggling financially for the last, like, 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a struggle bust. And some of the movies they've come out with have not been... you know,
right.
super successful. And so I'm not also, totally shocked.
Well, they also keep like writing them off for tax reasons. And I'm like, well, maybe you could make
do it to you.
A profit if you actually released your movie. So essentially they were like, we can't keep going. Like, I don't know if they were on Facebook Marketplace or like, I don't even know how this happened at all. Like, this mm-hmm. is just so outside of my brain. But Netflix has officially, Warner Brothers has accepted Netflix's bid, and Netflix will be taking over Warner Brothers at an $82 billion price tag.
I can't even
billion
imagine that
with
money.
Billion with a B.
can't even imagine.
Also understand this deal might take 2+ years to complete. Because if you think about when Disney bought 20th Century Fox, it was a year and a half before that was.
Oh, that's right. That's how they own Anastasia now.
Yes.
That's the only reason I know that.
Yeah,
I like that movie.
See, nerdy.
Nerdy. There was. Sorry.
Most people are like The Simpsons.
Out myself on the Nerdiest podcast as a nerd.
Most people are like, yeah, I guess you know they own The Simpsons. For and she's like, no, Anastasia. Like that's.
yeah. Yeah.
Goes but yeah, back that to that deal took over a year and a half to complete. And this one is just even bigger in scope than that one. And so it might take 2 years. Netflix did state that HBO Max will stay separate with some titles filtering through Netflix. So they're not trying to make the Giga streaming platform where Netflix and HBO combine. I don't buy it. I will believe it when I see it. It's really easy to say that. But then when that price tag comes in, I'm sure they might take it. And we are genuinely like looking at a future where Netflix could cost $50 to $80 a month. Yeah. So
it's already too expensive.
It's already too expensive
for
it's,
what it is.
Yeah.
But granted, I watch it more than any other streaming platform. So
which
I
is so frustrating,
you know.
Because Netflix is the only one cracking down on households. They're the only one raising prices, mm-hmm. but they genuinely have a great catalog right now.
They do. And it like all the cheesy Christmas movies.
Yes.
That's where I'm at right now.
Cheesy Christmas movies. Stranger Things season 5 is killing it right now. They're getting a lot more foreign stuff coming in.
K-pop Demon Hunters.
Like, you know, we love some K-pop Demon Hunters. they also said that David Zaslav will remain the CEO of Warner Brothers.
And I wonder how that works.
That's what I'm thinking. Because it's like, why are we doing the deal? If yeah. it's just going to keep the same. And it is, they said that David Zaslav will stay over it, which, you know, I cannot stand him. And so I'm done with that. James Gunn and Peter Safran will remain over DC. Mm-hmm. So, like, nothing's changing. Netflix says theater releases will remain with a limited window. I'll come back to that. So the question is, like, why are they even doing a deal if everyone's staying in the same positions? And really, it comes down to the IP library. Because mm-hmm. if you think about the history of Netflix, from day one, their biggest struggle was they didn't have any content. Was they didn't have original things that were bringing them to the platform. That's why Stranger Things was such a big deal. Because right. they were an outsourcer of other studios' content. That was their deal. Mm-hmm. And so when the streaming war started and Disney came in swinging and they had Marvel and they had National Geographic and they had Pixar and they had Disney's animation studio and they had all these things, it was like Netflix was going to get left behind. And so Netflix originals started coming out. That's why we have Stranger Things. That's how we have Squid Games. That's how we have like K-pop Demon Hunters and all this mm-hmm. stuff. Well, now, if this deal goes through, keep in mind, this may not even like happen because you know how these things
anything
work.
Can change. Anything, these things.
Literally, it's going to, anyway, everyone's going to buy everyone and then it's not going to work out. And we're going to be like, remember when that was a thing? But essentially, they will own... They're going to own Friends, which is the biggest sitcom
in
history. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Really?
They're going to own Friends. They're going to own Harry Potter.
There's a lot under
Warner
Brothers.
They're going to own Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes?
They're going to own all the Looney Tunes.
So is this all going to come on Netflix?
They're saying no.
Oh.
They're saying it's...
See?
Because the only thing more expensive than Netflix is HBO.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I would watch
They're claiming that the HBO name will still remain and that it's going to stay separate. But it's just with some titles filtering in and out of Netflix like they always have. But I'm just like, I don't believe that because Netflix historically has not done that. Mm-hmm. And they claim the biggest question was that, well, Warner Brothers distributes to theaters and Netflix doesn't. So, like, are we only going to get Warner Brothers movies exclusively on streaming? And they claim that they're still interested in the theater business.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if they completely went out of the theater business. Just because, you know, say they make another Harry Potter spinoff movie again.
Right.
You know, like something in that universe. Like, I would be shocked if it only went on streaming. Like, I know they're making that new TV show.
Yeah.
But a Harry Potter movie and not to go to theaters or something like that? I mean, I would be really surprised.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, Netflix has recently been very interested in the theater business because K-pop.
I mean, I saw my first Netflix movie in theaters.
We saw K-pop Demon Hunters in theaters Halloween weekend.
It was great.
And it was like, I mean, that first weekend release, it dominated the box office.
Wasn't it the sing-along we saw?
It was the sing-along.
Yeah. I don't think I realized that until we got there. I was like, oh. But it was only us in the theater.
We were the only ones in
the
theater, and we sang along.
We did.
But it was like, also the Stranger Things finale is freaking 3 hours long, by the way. And it's going to theaters New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow.
And theaters are completely sold out.
That's wild. Now.
And so Netflix sees value in the movie theater industry. So I don't know. I think there's an interesting conversation to be had. Update to follow. That's pretty much all we know right now. I think my theory is that Netflix prices are going to be through the roof. We're going to I'm calling like 2027. We're going to see like Netflix, maybe $50 to $70 a month.
That's wild. Isn't it at 17 right now?
I think it's 17
is it
right
17?
Now. And then is that the family price or is that the,
who knows?
Because
who
the knows? Whole household system is just bull. Because
we try to do the family thing and I keep getting booted off.
I have like three different Netflix accounts that I have to rotate.
I just want to watch my Christmas movie.
And so,
let me watch my Christmas.
And there's even like senators are already talking about this. Like Elizabeth Warren gave this huge speech about how she's like, this is already a really bad idea.
Wow.
She's like, this is going to take away so many jobs. It's going to just completely remove, like, essentially, like, this is an anti-monopoly nightmare. And I think she's right.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Update to follow. That's pretty much all we know right now. But just $82 billion studio acquisition is just so outside of my psyche. I can't even comprehend.
And those are
that.
Two things I don't even see going together. Like back in the day, you'd never be like, oh yeah, they're gonna merge, and
right,
you know, one will buy the other, even though Warner Brothers has been struggling,
right?
But
I was hoping Universal would step in because they also had a bid, and
which
I think
would make sense, actually. That would make more sense.
It would make
to
way
me.
More sense because of the Comcast connection, and everyone was hoping that like we would get, you know, like park perks from DC characters and you know, Looney Tunes stuff at Universal and all this, I guess, like, so that was the hope. But no, Netflix was,
I beat them to
and
it.
And then Paramount, I watched this whole thing, I learned so much today, guys. Paramount was also had a bid, but a lot of people were really upset about and hoping they wouldn't get it because Paramount apparently has been working really close with the Trump administration and said that they have been, they have been talking to them about influencing their future projects, and that they're making a Rush Hour 4 at the request of Trump, and that
that's wild. How on
and
earth?
I was just like,
how, I mean, I know politics and the entertainment industry have always been intertwined.
Right, they go hand in hand.
But I'm also like, why? Like, why can't we just watch a movie?
Right. It's like, so essentially we were moving crazy. Towards government-controlled media. And so, but I'll honestly, like, if they truly wanted it, like, Trump would have funded their price tag. And so,
yeah, he
I think
probably could have paid for it with cash, honestly.
Yeah, no, for real. He's like, I wash my face with $82 billion. But yeah, so update to follow on that. In other movie news, fascinating things is that one of our most anticipated movies of the year had come out.
Yes, long awaited. Very long awaited.
And that was Zootopia 2.
Yay.
Which was hilarious because that's like your favorite movie was Zootopia.
Yeah, it really is. It's Zootopia. The first Zootopia is in like my top five favorite movies of all time. Like, love it. Absolutely love it. But I will say my anticipation leading up to the second movie was more fear than excitement. my expectations were incredibly, incredibly low. Like, I was like, if this movie is terrible, I'm just going to be so sad. Because
right.
I already knew, Wicked was coming out, this part two, and we'll talk a little bit about that later.
Yes.
So I was super excited about that. I knew that would be great. But I was like, oh, but Zootopia. I was like, this can't be bad.
We're double
featuring. But I think it's going to be bad because, my expectations couldn't have been lower.
Yes.
So
yes.
They were as bottom of the totem pole as it could be. So I was very worried.
If you want to know the extent of our Zootopia fandom, we bought pre-release tickets a month in advance.
Yes, I was so ready.
We were ready. We were in the dead center. Also, like, sidebar, we were in the theater, and next to us was like this mom and two kids, and this young couple comes in like during the trailers, and they were like, "Hey, these are our seats. Like, we got those." And I don't know what she said. I don't know. She was essentially just like, oh, I'm sorry. And didn't move. And then the couple was like really awkward.
Yeah. And they were younger too. So they didn't seem like they would be as,
they weren't very,
you know,
confrontational.
They didn't have kids or anything.
Right.
So they're like, well,
okay,
it's probably fine.
And
so,
they moved. And yeah. I would just like to put it out there, PSA. And, you know, you could speak on this. If you are a girlfriend, this is for future people. If you're a girlfriend and you're dating my son, if you're dating our son, and you go to the movie theater and someone's in your seats and he is submissive enough to not kick a mother and two children to the front row where they belong, break up with him.
No.
I have raised him better than that.
I don't know about that advice. Because...
But if I bought the seats, they're my seats, and you can't sit there.
I mean, yes, that is true.
Yes.
But
I'm raising my children to take what's theirs.
If the theater is full, then I could understand saying, yeah, hey, this really is our seats. Like, right, move. Like, these are, right, this is not what
I paid for this.
Bought.
Yes.
But if it's like a completely wide open theater.
Right. But what had happened was, and this is what's so frustrating, is like the system works, just follow the system, was they moved, and then I heard them behind us, they had to take someone else's seat, and then those people had to take someone else's
seat.
It was
bad, and it's also disruptive to everyone else,
right,
like having to move. Like, you don't realize it's a domino effect. Like,
right,
you buy your seats, and granted, sometimes our, you know, our local theater is notorious for
screwing up,
you know, if
overselling,
you buy seats early, they'll accidentally oversell them, and like, anyway, right, it's kind of a mess,
and that's a problem.
And I will say, one time, wasn't it when we saw Mufasa,
that was my fault
because I can't remember who it was. It's neither me or you.
We saw that movie on a whim.
Yeah, we saw it on a whim. Wasn't excited. Wasn't a good movie either.
We just wanted to go to the theater. Like,
just
for the
wanted
sake.
To go see a movie. We legitimately like messed up our seats and misread what letter it was, and we were in someone's. We were those people who were in
the
wrong
seats,
but we didn't know it. Like, we didn't. Right. We didn't intentionally.
And then we got booted to the front row.
Yeah. So we were just watching it like this, like
with my neck.
I mean,
and
it was just like our heads were back.
So realist experience.
So it was,
and it was like
okay.
Mufasa, which is an awful movie, and it smelled like weed the whole time in
it
the
was
theater.
So bad.
And I was like, man, this is why I sit in the middle row.
Yeah. Luckily, you know, that was an experience.
Anyway. So yes, we go to Zootopia 2, and genuinely. When I am here to do nothing but tell you that it's maybe the best movie of the year.
It was.
It's in my top three.
It's in my top three as well. Yes.
K-pop Demon Hunters is still on top.
It's my number one. But
K-pop Demon Hunters is still on top for me, just because the longevity of that film is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah.
Zootopia 2 is sitting very, very neatly at like a 4.5-star rating in my second spot. Like, phenomenal.
It was 5 stars for me, probably. But again,
now that I'm thinking, I need to go watch it again.
I don't really.
I need to
watch it again. You know, you always have that experience where you see a movie
yes.
for the first time. You're like,
there's a
that was the
bias.
Best thing ever.
Yes.
And then you see it a few more times and you're like,
what's okay.
it? But I will say, I mean, I've watched the first Zootopia. I mean, I can memorize.
Right.
I could start the first line
right.
for you if you wanted me to. I mean, I love that movie.
Yeah.
And the second one,
it was just as
lovable.
Good.
Like,
yeah.
It was so good. It was hilarious. It was funny. But yeah,
yeah,
it was a great movie.
And we are not the only ones that feel this way. Let me read you some of these headlines from Zootopia 2's release. The highest global animated opening of all time. At $560 million opening weekend.
That's wild.
Fourth highest global opening of all time. Highest global debut of 2025. Highest global opening.
Even over Wicked?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Highest global opening for an animated sequel ever. Highest global opening ever for Walt Disney Animation Studio. Highest global opening for any animated film in Disney history. Highest global sequel opening of 2025. And since 2021, previous record being Spider-Man No Way Home. Mm. Biggest opening weekend increase from original to sequel for any animated franchise. Which means Zootopia 2 opening weekend made 239% more than the Zootopia opening weekend. And has
wow.
been the number one movie globally, domestically, and internationally for Thanksgiving weekend, and currently still is.
That's insane.
Wild. Like, these
I
are.
I can't comprehend that much money, but the fact that.
I mean,
that
you
so
could buy Warner
saying...
Brothers with that.
I mean.
But also, my thing is like, if you've seen the movie, you watch the movie, we'll be spoiler free here because genuinely, just please go see it.
Mm-hmm.
It was. What I felt like Disney used to be.
Yes, I would agree. Because we've seen, I mean, We've seen pretty much every Yeah, we did. We've seen most recent. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's one we missed recently.
Not animated.
Not animated. You know, I personally liked Freakier Friday. I know that was, you haven't seen that one yet, but that was live action, and I'm not even a huge Freaky Friday fan, but I love that movie. That was a good movie, but outside of that and the animated, they just have been not.
They've been bad.
They've been total misses, not hit or misses, been just misses over and over again. So yeah, it was watching it. We were sitting in the theater. I was sitting there and I was just like, I'm so nervous. Like, this is going to be a train wreck.
Right.
And turning it on and like the beginning and all through the story, like it just kept going. And I remember thinking, it's still good. This is still good. I'm laughing. I'm laughing out loud. Funny. It's actually funny. Like, and it just felt such a, like a genuine story.
Yeah.
But I remember just being like so nervous. And then I feel like, well, maybe it's like an hour in. I told you, I was like, I love this and I'm so scared that I love it. Like, it's going to turn on itself or something. Yeah. And no, it was great. Good. It was it was better than I could have imagined it to be. So,
and it was so appropriate while also being like funny and on the line. Because Disney's gotten a lot of heat recently in their latest movies because they'll kind of push like random political views and like stuff that was just kind of like we've talked about this on the show a million times. The downfall of Disney is we're just like, why do I didn't ask for that. Like, why do we just give me a good movie? And that's what Zootopia 2 is. It's genuinely just a great movie with a great moral and a great message that like I connected so hard with. And I felt like it was that classic Disney thing where they were like, this is a really big idea that we're going to filter down in a way that you can understand, in a way that makes sense to anyone and anyone can relate to in a fun, like, also like after watching the first Zootopia too, like they love, there's movie references and there's like there's literally a reference to The Shining in that, like, so good.
Jack had to point that out to me because I was like, I've never seen The Shining. So he was like, that's a Shining reference. I was like, is it? I don't know. Cause you know, the first movie they reference, Breaking Bad and The Godfather. And you know, that's hilarious. It's so funny. So yeah, in this movie, I actually, I don't know if you've seen this, I saw recently that, I can't remember if it was the director who announced this, but they said that originally The Shining reference was going to be like this 4-minute long segment of the movie.
Oh my gosh.
And they took it out because they're like, yeah, kids might get a little freaked out about that, so we're not going to do this.
That's so funny.
Which is fair, because I remember when the first Zootopia came out, a lot of little kids at the time were kind of creeped out by it, just because of the animals going crazy and attacking each other. So they were a little scared. But
my brother was younger at the time, and he was pretty scared by it. And I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was a thing. So at this movie, I don't think it was probably a little less scary just because, you know, the animals aren't going savage.
Right.
They're not going crazy. Yeah. You know,
it was funny. It was really funny. And I will say the one thing I'll spoil, like if you're still not sold, there's this joke, Duke Weaselton? Is that his name? Weaselton is back.
Play off of Frozen.
Yes.
Because it was Duke Wesselton.
The Duke of Wesselton.
But they kept saying it wrong.
Wesselton.
So then as a joke in Zootopia.
He's actually a weasel.
He's actually a weasel. So
if you love animal puns, this is your movie.
Oh, wait, there's a lot of them.
But he's like selling movies again, but they're all live action remakes of like, and it's so funny. And he's like, they say the studio's in the toilet. And they're like, it's I was like, oh my gosh, how did they get this?
They outed
through?
Themselves.
Like, how
genuinely.
Did they get this through? Like, phenomenal stuff. Every night, our nightly routine now is to look at, search on Instagram for new pirated clips of Zootopia 2.
I'll just go to Zootopia 2. What comes up? Is there anything
like people's
illegally
awful
videoed
theater
and published
recordings? I'm like, you have to stop looking this up.
It's funny.
Oh my gosh.
There's always something, and there's always something like, oh, I forgot about that. That was so funny. We just need to, honestly, we need to go see it again.
Go see it. It's phenomenal.
One thing, too, I will say, if you loved the world of Zootopia in mm-hmm. the first movie, and you're like all the different, you know, they have Tundra Town and Sahara Square. Am I saying that right?
I think so. I don't know.
There's all like the different worlds, you know, and they have like the jungle and winter and all the different, I don't know what the right word is.
Ecosystems.
Biomes. Yeah, biomes. So they have all these different places. Well, in the new one, they do more world building. Mm-hmm. So they go to different places. I won't spoil it, but it's actually really cool. So they explore the world. The animation was
gorgeous.
Beautiful. Absolutely, like there was one scene towards the beginning where you're like, this is so beautiful. Like the colors. And that's one reason I love animation, because of the artwork behind it. It's just so creative, and the way they did it all. And Zootopia is just a very colorful world and movie anyway. Yeah. So seeing that in the sequel,
it was like out of 10.
It was great.
They they essentially just flexed for like 2 hours. It was so good.
It was so good.
Go see
it. Do we want to touch on the Judy and Nick thing?
Yes.
Is that too spoiler?
No, I don't think so. So essentially, if you are on the internet at all, or just a fan of Zootopia,
or just know anything about Zootopia,
just know anything, you know, like that is the joke where it's like everyone wants Judy and Nick to be together, and some are more extreme than others.
There's a dark place of the internet with their story
which is so funny, because like you say Zootopia is your favorite movie, and then everyone's like,
I'm like, this would be such fun characters to be for Halloween, but then it'd be so weird. I can't do it. It's like, no,
like, I'm
anyway,
not a furry, I promise. Just a good story.
It's just a good story.
understand.
No, so I will say, we'll be spoil free, and this is what I've told other people who haven't seen it yet. I was like, if you know anything about that, and some people who aren't, you know, you maybe that is news to you, that you don't know people do that, but in the first movie, you know, they're clearly friends, like they just met each other, like nothing's crazy going on. But the second movie, I will say, they handled everything, in my opinion, really well, very appropriately. You know, because the movie takes place, you literally are starting off right where it ends, like the first movie ends.
Yeah.
I actually saw an interview with Jennifer Goodwin, who plays Judy, right? And she said, I think in the beginning process of writing Zootopia 2, they were saying that, oh, well, it might be written, like the story might take place years down the road. And when they start working on it, they're like, that actually doesn't make sense.
Right.
Like too much would have happened between the characters between then. Too much happened in the world between then.
Right.
I mean, they just came off of this high.
Because the first one was a cultural revolution for the Zootopia world.
Yes. I mean,
and that culture doesn't shift immediately.
No.
Like, it's a gradual thing.
And it would have been disingenuous and honestly maybe too idealistic to do that and jump forward in that way. So they definitely, she was saying how they kind of went back and were like, no, we need to pick up where he left off and see what that was like for them coming off that high of we saved the city, we saved Zootopia, Nick is now a cop, and like this whole new dynamic even between the two characters.
Yeah.
And that gets explored in the movie.
It's really,
and,
really good.
You know, they're very different. Like, she's the typical small town girl, had all the siblings, goes to the big city, and then he was alone, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's kind of also exploring like just in differences in people and how you grow up and what does that look like in a friendship. And it was honestly
and
really
their
sweet.
Friendship is precious.
It is precious.
It is like,
they did a great
like
job.
Tears in my eyes, precious. Yeah. Like, and I'm just like, why do I want them together, but I don't? Like, what's
like,
what's
I don't
want
to be weird, but like, it
but
makes
I also,
sense. But
I also think like, this is one of the few movies, and this will be like the last thing I say, is this is one of the few movies I feel like they were able to explore a really deep, like, emotional relationship that wasn't romantic.
Yes.
And I thought that was so impressive.
They do tease you.
They tease it, and they
make
know.
A lot of jokes.
They know
because
what they're doing.
They know. And I was telling Jack this morning, I was like, you know, I don't think one person who worked on that movie didn't know about
they know
the fandom.
Yes.
What people wanted. And I was like, but you know, they handled it so well. And they really did, like, exploring a friendship, being vulnerable in a friendship, But I do think they appeased both sides. Like, I think they were like people who were like, I want them to be together.
Right.
I think the way they handled it in such a gentle way mm-hmm. could have appeased those people. And it also made the people who were like, what are you talking
right.
about? I think it kind of made them more comfortable yeah. and curious, because it was like, oh, there's
we're
nothing romantic.
Elephant.
It's yeah. nothing is, you know, they did right. not make anything weird that they didn't need to make weird, honestly,
right.
for a kids movie. So it was handled a really good way. But there
yeah.
are a lot of jokes, and
yeah.
they poke
and
fun at it.
Favorite.
And that's the best thing
and
about this movie is it's hilarious,
yeah.
and they make jokes about everything, and even that. So
yeah. go see it.
Yeah,
please go watch
it.
Genuinely so good. Well, we're about to dig into Wicked here in just a moment. But if you like what we do here, this is a fully independent production. So if you're not following us on Instagram at The Nerdiest Podcast, or on YouTube at The Nerdiest Podcast, or listening on Spotify, 5-star review. We just got our Spotify wrapped back. It looks really good. We're going to go over it on the next episode, which is going to be our year in review. It's almost time, guys.
That's wild. It's already that time of year.
It's already the time of year. So, yeah. So, yeah, if you're just give 5 stars, if you like what we do here, there's merch, all the links in the description. Yeah, that's that about that. So, Wicked for good.
Oh, switching gears. Two most anticipated
yes,
movies
my,
of the year.
My first initial question, just overall, is do you feel like you've been changed for the better?
Change for good? Maybe.
Now, so Wicked last year, I think, was the movie of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
totally.
Wicked, the Wicked movie.
another movie I had very low expectations
yes,
of, by
yes.
the way.
There was a lot of controversy. It was like, and we never covered it on this show because we knew mm-hmm. the second one would come out, and we were like, what's the point? And we didn't feel qualified to talk about it because it's a musical. And so we had to bring in the big guns.
We
had to bring in the big guns. And so this is Wicked for Good, essentially review, mm-hmm. but like analysis, but just Wicked in general is such a bigger thing than these movies, which is so interesting because now
yep.
it's so available to a wide audience.
Yep.
So give me the Wicked,
okay.
like your personal experience, your thoughts, right. and then like just the overall thought.
So
from all three.
I want to start off with the movie and
okay.
going into the first movie, part one. So I heard they're making a Wicked movie. I was concerned. I heard the cast. I know some people were thrilled, and I was a little concerned. I was like, I don't know about this. Like, this is, I don't know. I had low expectations. But Jackson didn't know anything about Wicked. Like, had you even seen The Wizard of Oz?
I had.
Okay,
like
you
once.
Had. I
like
couldn't
a long
remember.
Time ago, once. It was like not even.
Yeah. So yeah. he didn't know a thing. Because
my mom loves The Wizard of Oz. And so I grew up around it.
Yeah. And it's such a classic movie. But Jackson had never seen Wicked. Didn't know anything about Wicked. I don't even know if he could know what Defying Gravity was.
No.
Like, didn't know anything. Because
it was something my mom liked, but I didn't care.
Right. He's like, I don't really care. And then here's to show his
yeah.
wife, who loves Wicked.
Yes, of course.
So when we were dating in 2023 in the fall, Wicked came mm-hmm. to a local theater in a Broadway tour. And I was like, okay, Jack, we are going to see this
uh-huh.
because this movie is coming out. And at the time, that movie wasn't coming out for another year and a month because
yeah.
we saw it in October
yeah.
2023. And I was like, we have to go see this because I don't want you to hate it. And you
mm-hmm.
think, Amy, why on earth do you like this thing? Because I was like, if the movie's terrible, which in the Broadway realm, Broadway movies typically are not good and not at all like they are on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, let's go see it. And then you can have your own opinion. And even if you don't like it,
right.
you don't like it. But at least you saw the real deal.
Right.
So We did that. So yeah. What was your first impression of seeing it?
My first impression seeing it, was that the first like Broadway show that I saw?
You had seen Frozen. Disney's Frozen came We saw that in July, and that was your first
That
experience.
Was my first one.
But you've seen Frozen,
right.
So this
and
was
Frozen
your first.
Frozen was like, well, that's a great like entry level.
Yeah, and that honestly is my first time seeing any Disney musical
and
on
And if
stage,
you have Disney
so
Plus, watch the Frozen musical
so
master
good.
Cut. It's fire.
It is so good.
So I went in literally blind, like completely like I have no clue. And I really loved it. I really did love it. But I think I left feeling like I didn't really get it.
Yeah. I remember after act one when she like goes
I mean,
up in the
right
air. At this point,
gravity,
if you don't, if you've not seen Wicked.
Right. Hey,
spoilers
for Wicked.
This is all the spoilers for Wicked. And when she goes up in the air on stage for the first time, I remember looking and be like, oh my gosh, like, what are you thinking? You know, because that was my third time seeing Wicked on stage.
Which is insane. Like,
I was like, like, what is he thinking after, you know, act one, and the curtain closes. I was like, okay, like, what do you think? And he was like, it's good, but I could tell he was like really confused. And I was
because
like,
it's so dense. Like the story is super dense, and it's and this is why it's a good story because it's so nuanced. And when you're watching it on stage, if you miss something,
you just miss it.
You just miss it. There's no rewinding.
It's not very
there's
forgiving.
No captions. It's not
in that way.
So like you almost need to like listen to the album first and then. Because I'm like listening to lyrics, but then I'm like just trying to enjoy it. But then like there's like everything is important.
Shout out to a younger me before I saw it on stage and thought The Wizard and I was kind of a romantic song. It is not at all. if you see, we'll talk about it. If you know the spoiler of who the wizard is, that would be weird.
That would be weird.
So that's, and then of course you see it and you're like,
that's not the song at all.
So
my stage experience was very positive, but I left feeling like just kind of confused.
Yeah.
And I knew I loved Defying Gravity and I knew I loved No Good Deed and I knew I loved Popular. But like those are the songs that everyone knows.
Yeah.
And so like those are the ones that stuck with me the best.
Yeah. And it was a great, I mean, the cast of that one was
phenomenal.
Fantastic. And they always are. They're always great. I mean, you're never going to see a bad Wicked cast from a Broadway tour.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I grew up with Wicked. I'm pretty sure Wicked was the very first Broadway musical. Because my parents had taken me to see things like when I was really little.
Right.
Like, I'm pretty sure it was Frog and Toad.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Like those little junior musical things.
Or
like
the Beauty
and
the
I don't
Beast
even
show
really remember.
At Disney World.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you'd seen stuff like that. But then when I saw Wicked, it was the first thing I'd ever seen. That was the Broadway level of a musical. And I was just, I don't remember how old I was. I was probably
it's flooring.
Like, I was probably 11 or 12. Yeah. And just being like sitting in that room and watching her go up in the air and like the lights and the costumes.
I mean, it's magical.
And the level of, and you know, I knew The Wizard of Oz. Actually, when I was little, I loved The Wizard of Oz. So like seeing all of that come together in such a rich story, it was just like mind boggling. Like I was like, and that's where I started to fall in love with going and seeing stuff on stage. Because there's nothing like it. Like the high after seeing a musical to me is just, I love it. So I had seen it again, probably my early teen years. And then I saw it when I was 21 with Jack. So that was, and then watching it, I will say, watching it as an adult is very different than watching it as a kid. You pick up on some things. You realize Glinda's not so good after all. Like, you realize Elphaba's got some issues. So, like, you kind of realize.
It's a mature story.
Oh,
like,
okay. There's a lot of stuff. But as a kid, it just went right over my head. Yeah. But now as an adult, I was like, oh, there's these people.
And we'll get into it.
A little complicated.
But, like, the version we saw on stage was so spicy. Like, as long as your mind, which is like the only like really,
it was the spiciest
they were
one.
Like all over each other, and I remember being like, what on
earth
I
think
is
that
happening?
Was probably one of the funniest moments, because I knew
I had no idea that was happening.
They're just holding each other kissing, and like, you know, it's it's not past PG-13, but it is uncomfy, especially when it's like
on stage,
live like that. And Jack, I don't even know if I told you.
You did not prepare me for that.
I probably should have, but I was like, oh, it'll be fine. Because in the past, it was usually they were just kind of sitting there, like different people play
snuggle,
into it more.
The, you know.
But then
the version we saw, they were like,
was, and we weren't even in the orchestra.
Ham.
We were in a balcony, and I was like, oh,
my word.
And I remember your face was so disturbed. You looked at me, you're like, oh,
oh
what
gosh.
Is happening?
How had we been dating at that point?
We were dating.
It was like
a while.
It was over a year.
I don't know if it's quite a year, but
it was
a while. It
was still early enough for me to be like, oh
yeah. It was a little, and so that was a little uncomfy. But no, and as you know, as an adult, it was like, oh, there's a lot more to this musical than
which
I thought there
also,
was in these
like,
characters.
You know,
so.
That's how the book is. So,
oh, I don't read the book.
Yeah, it's just a.
I don't know.
There's a lot there.
No. Also, for any, you know, I don't know if any parents are listening to this podcast. I'm a 23-year-old married adult.
Yeah.
I would not read the Wicked book. I've been told that by multiple people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because back when I was a kid, I mean, the book was first and then there was the musical.
Yeah.
And the book, I think, came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
And the musical came out in 2003.
Yeah.
So they, I remember moms, because I told my mom, I was like, oh, there's a book. I want to read the Wicked book. Of course I want to read the Wicked book. And there was a few adults, and my mom didn't know like anything. And my, there was a neighborhood, I'm pretty sure it was our neighbor, who
that's
she knew
so
Wicked,
funny.
Loved seeing the music. And she said, she told my mom, she's like, Beth, do not. Don't. Just don't. Just don't. Because then I really was, I mean, I was
young.
Very young to not. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, the book is not like the musical.
It's a little spicier.
The musical is the PG version. Mm-hmm. The book is the R-rated version. So they, you know, gets way worse. So, and I've personally never read the book, so I can't say, you know.
Yeah. I don't know what's in it. I've just heard.
I've heard some things in it that I won't say on this podcast. But
there's this whole group of people that are like reading it from watching the movie.
Yes.
And they're like, and oh my God.
Yeah. And if you've seen any of the reels that have come out recently, because what's happening is it came out and then they came out with the book that looks like the movie cover,
that's
not
cruel.
The original book.
That's cruel.
And honestly, if I had seen Wicked and watched the first movie, I was like, this is fine.
Yeah,
like,
this is great.
There's nothing in this.
I'll
let
my daughter read this.
But then it's the real original book from the 90s. And you're like, they did what? Like, that is not the Wicked I saw or know. So, yeah, it's a little disturbing. Yeah. So, and maybe for some people they've read it, but I don't know.
And
so,
what's interesting
and I'm not
is,
really interested in finding out.
Did you know that Wicked in, was it 2003 it came out?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't win the Tony for Musical of the Year.
It did not.
It was beat
probably
by,
because of Act Two,
it was,
which we'll get into.
Well, it was beat by Avenue Q. Do you know what that is?
I actually don't.
So Avenue Q, this
off
is just a little history
head.
Lesson, is a musical about New York City, and it's all puppets, but it's like rated R. It's like... It's essentially
that's
like
something.
Sesame Street and South Park together.
Oh.
And like
oh.
their number one song, their most popular song is called Everyone's a Little Racist. That's like, that's the vibe. Like it's R-rated puppets, like New York City. Like it's a comedy.
What does that reflect of our culture?
No,
in
I know. But it won because they found out it was like an independent thing, like barely got off Broadway, like but it was like a sleeper hit.
I mean, puppetry is really
it's really
impressive.
Really
I
impressive.
Mean, it really is. Like
But it
that
was
is a skill in of itself.
But the creators of it, I think they were Mormon. But
well, if it's the same people who did South Park,
right,
they actually
they
are
Mormon.
Because the same people who did South Park wrote the Book of Mormon,
yes,
which is
yeah.
a musical.
And so, I think I don't think it was them, but I think they were like connected in some way. Hmm. But they did a huge campaign push to the Tonys because it's not like the Academy where it's like 100 people. The Tonys mm-hmm. is like 12 people.
Wow.
And they,
who do you have to be to like,
I know, right? And they, and I think it's changed since then, but they did a letter campaign personally to those people. It was crazy.
What?
It was crazy.
That, no.
I watched a whole like YouTube documentary about it.
No.
Anyway, it was crazy.
You just need to go see. I feel like, and this is something I'll say in regarding the Wicked on, I know we're talking more mm-hmm. of Wicked on stage right now. I will say one thing with the movie, where I feel like the movie takes away some of the magic, is if you go and you'd see Wicked on stage, just know the Wizard of Oz. Like, obviously, hopefully you do. If
of course.
Going into Wicked. spoiler alert, it's very tied into the Wizard
yes.
of Oz. And the biggest thing about Wicked is when you go into it, there's Act One, which takes place mm-hmm. before The Wizard of Oz, and that's setting the stage for what's happening. It's almost like the prequel,
yeah.
you could say. Act Two ties into The Wizard of Oz. I had the absolute joy of being a kid, I mean,
and didn't know
a thing about Wicked, because the only way you could experience the Wicked story was by going and seeing it on stage,
yes.
which was such a joy, because yeah. it wasn't like, you know, The Sound of Music or these other Broadway musicals
right.
where they're pretty universal and mainstream and you can access them at any mm-hmm. time, whether that's through a movie or it's something like The Music Man where your local
right.
high school has done it like 5 times.
Right.
Like, you know, you probably
right.
know those stories,
right.
right? But with Wicked, that isn't something just high schoolers are going to do on stage.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't something that your local theater company, if you know, like us, we live in a smaller
right.
town. Like, they're not going to do Wicked. They don't have
right.
the budget or the capacity
the
for that. you know, and seeing Wicked, it really was every 5 years, every
mm-hmm.
several years. If you were lucky and you got the tickets, you were able to see Wicked. So it
yeah.
really was just a treat.
And that's
to
why
see
the movie
it.
Was a huge deal.
It was a
it
huge
was the
deal.
The first time that story was accessible in a medium like that.
Right. And so that is that was a big thing about seeing it. But the best thing about it, it's kind of like, think of it compared to Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
If you are seeing Star Wars for the first time, and luckily, I don't know how I got away with this as a kid, but when I found out that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father, I genuinely was shocked, because
yeah.
I was, you know, we watched it on my parents' old VHS tape
yeah.
in our living room, and watching A New Hope and then watched The Empire Strikes Back, I was shocked. I got to have that
yeah.
shock factor. My kids probably will not have that shock
yeah.
factor, because it's so mainstream in our culture.
Well, I don't know. I think that's up to you.
I don't know. I feel like they'll get spoiled pretty fast. I mean, we have stuff like Clone Wars and all, you know, the whole world.
Yeah,
of
but you
Star
have control
stuff.
Over what they're exposed to.
Yeah.
So you could incubate
See,
that experience.
They're
going
to go
want.
To school, or they're going to go to something,
yeah,
and they're going to be
punk
like,
youth
guess
group
who's
kid
the.
Is gonna
yeah.
be like,
I mean,
this retro
it's
movie.
It's
going to
get spoiled for them. And I feel like Wicked now, because of the movie, that has gotten. That experience is now, I don't
right.
want to say ruined.
Because you don't
but
know
But it kind
who's
of
who.
Is. Because, you know, you had only the access on stage, just like way back when,
mm-hmm.
when you saw Star Wars. I mean, I was not born in the 80s, so I didn't have that
yeah.
theater experience. But I was able to see that.
Right.
With Wicked, you see Act Two on stage. You see it all at once. So you don't get the year
mm-hmm.
to find out what happens. You get that one experience. And seeing it on stage, you get the surprise of which characters turn into the Wizard
yeah.
of Oz characters that you know very well.
Yeah.
So and it was
a
shock.
A
I mean, it
yeah.
really was like, I had no idea that this character was going to become the Tin Man. I had
right.
no idea that this character was going to become the Scarecrow. I had no idea. I mean, the lion, you
the
can see that coming.
Obvious.
You can
yeah.
see that coming. And obviously, Dorothy is not connected.
Right.
She is the... You know, she's from
yeah.
Kansas. I almost said Oz. No.
Right.
She's from Kansas. So, like, obviously you know where Dorothy's
right.
from, but you yeah. already know her story. You don't know those other characters' story.
Yeah.
So that was such a treat to be surprised by that, where now because in the movie, I think you it's kind of it's that. Taken away that magic. I mean, yeah. maybe if you're lucky, but you all, if you go on Instagram and just open your Instagram,
it's there.
They already
also,
have memes.
If you watched a trailer, like the trailer for For Good, ruined that whole experience.
You didn't even know. Going into it that it would even come into the Wizard of Oz, so that was all very new. So that's just kind of a thing I want to I want to say, if you haven't gotten to experience that,
I'm surprised you're listening to this, but you know.
Yeah. That's
also
kind of sad.
Like, my experience after that was the movie, where we were like, this is going to be so bad, this is going to be, because Broadway movies are historically not very good.
They are,
because that's Broadway true. Is It's such a special medium, and it's just like, it is a sensory experience in a way that a movie, in the same way that like watching a concert on TV is not like being there.
Right.
Like, it's different.
And that's one thing I've learned with Jack specifically. He really doesn't like watching stage productions recorded,
no,
which I can understand.
Because I'd rather be there.
He'd rather be there, and I can understand that. So, for example, so Wicked... Fun fact, actually not my favorite musical of all time.
Yeah.
Might have sounded like it based on everything I just said. It's
right.
actually not. It's in my top five, but yeah. it's not my favorite. But one of my favorites is The Phantom of the Opera, but I am gatekeeping it so hard right now because I'm like, you're not watching the movie.
Yeah.
Which that's my thoughts for another time.
Yeah.
Why I don't want him to see the movie. And then there is a version I love that is the thing recorded on stage, but it was more like it was a 25th anniversary concert.
Yeah.
And
it's not
it
like
doesn't have all the
play.
Like, they did a phenomenal job as far as talent and the singing and the acting, but it didn't have all the stage. She didn't really know what was going on. So I told him, I was like, we're just going to wait and we're going to see it.
Yeah.
And thankfully I found out that it's, there's a North American tour that is about to, it actually has already started, I think. So it's going to come through. I haven't gotten the dates yet for when it's coming close to us,
but we'll be there.
We will be there. We'll
yeah,
be there and we'll, he'll be seeing it for the first time.
And
so
it's so interesting because, you know, you also have plays like Hamilton that got big off of the Master Cut.
Right.
Like when the Master Cut of Hamilton hit Disney Plus, that's how 90% of the viewers experienced
right.
it.
Because
but also,
let's be real, Broadway is so expensive.
Yes.
And it is not,
it's like a high class
it's yeah, I mean,
it's not
it,
like
it
an
is
everyman.
So expensive. I mean, the Wicked tickets and all of that, I mean, even for, you know, cheap
people,
I mean, it's several hundred dollars.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's sometimes you can get a steal where it's only maybe
right.
but even then,
yeah.
I mean, when Hamilton came, they're selling tickets for like thousands of dollars. And I'm like, this isn't even on Broadway.
Right.
Even on Broadway, I wouldn't pay for that. But even
right.
it's not on Broadway.
Right. You're like,
it's wild.
Yeah.
Like, why is it so expensive?
Yeah.
But that's something about, you know, coming into movies.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I am excited about the Wicked movie is it is accessible.
Yeah.
And people can see it. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I think, just giving a little context for the first one too, is I think that the first movie was one of the best like stage adaptations to film I had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the director, John M. Chu, understood how big of a deal this was.
I agree.
And he was
they
like,
knew the stakes were high.
He was like, this needs to be the best freaking Broadway movie ever, or we're so screwed. Like, none of us will
yeah.
work again.
And especially with a set like
yes.
that and
so
the
it's
world.
Like, so
I mean, CGI
like,
isn't going to fix everyone's problems. Let's
right.
be real. We
but
saw the
was,
sequel. We saw
was,
the prequel Star Wars trilogy.
But it was like, it was like, we're going to build a real set and we're going to mm-hmm. build this real set and we're going to, you know, use real filmmaking techniques and like all of the singing in that movie was done on set. Like, it was live.
Yeah.
And, like, you can watch Cynthia Erivo.
You can see her literally fly in circles in the air while she's
singing. Like, they...
Which is so impressive.
Knew how important that was. And I think that those huge numbers paid off
mm-hmm.
really well. Like, the popular Dancing Through Life, Defying Gravity, like, No One Mourns the Wicked. Like, that opening sequence, you're
mm-hmm.
in the theater... And you either have the context to know what's going to happen and you're building up, or you're just coming in completely blind. And that opening sequence
yep.
starts and you're just like, holy crap. Like, what am I in for?
Yeah.
And that I've like, when I remember seeing it in theaters and being like, hearing the budget and being like, on what planet does a movie need to cost this much? Because yeah. This is like a $300 million movie. Like, just insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
And then I saw it and thought, oh, that makes sense.
That's why. That'd be why.
And that's my thing. Here's my thing. I'm not mad that movies have high budgets. But if your movie has, you know, $300 million and it looks like the Multiverse of Madness,
Still haven't seen that one.
Tax write-off? Like, was catering services too expensive? Like, where did it go? So, like, you can spend a lot of money on a movie, but I want to see it. It better look really good. Like, the stakes go higher.
Because you want, if it's like, okay, you got that much money, A, why did you need that much money?
Right.
And B, if you have that much money,
show
at least
it.
Use it for, you
Things
know, a
matter.
Good purpose.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you could be feeding, like, 5,000 people with that much money. You know, that's insane.
And so, like, even just, like, moving into the second movie, I think that the bar was so high.
It was.
Everyone was like, this is going to be... Because that's kind of the sequel curse, and this ties into Zootopia too, as well as it's like, how do you build? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. how do you... Because the movie one needs to go to a peak.
Yes.
And then movie two needs to take that peak and double it. And that's why sequels never work. Because you're like, how do you go up from here?
Unless it's The Empire Strikes Back.
Right. And that, but I would even argue.
Even then, that the whole story is going like this.
I would even argue that Star Wars as a trilogy is just a straight line up through Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi is my favorite.
Yeah, me too. And so.
I'm a little biased. There.
Yeah. And that's why we got married. and so I think that if you've seen Wicked on stage, you know the second act is just genuinely not as good.
Yeah.
And it's just different because the first act is so magical and fun and a big, like, it's just a big dance party.
It's fun.
And it's really silly. And then the second act is like, no, we're going to war.
Yeah, it gets really sad really fast.
And I don't know if the theater audience was ready for that.
And that's one thing, another reason why, going back to this is the problem with a Broadway on stage versus Broadway in a movie. And on stage, and remember, the first movie of Wicked, part one, just part one, is 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
You could go see Wicked on stage in the same amount of time, I think including intermission, maybe add 15 minutes to that.
Yeah.
Even then, you could see the story in its entirety all the way through in that amount of time. So you are seeing part one and part two.
Yes.
And you don't have all this extra time.
Right.
And then come into the next movie where they did add stuff, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
They added more things, and it's still 2 hours, right?
It's like 2:15.
2:15. It's still long. Because act two on stage, I think, is like maybe
it's not
an
as
hour
long.
And a half.
Like, normally, though, the first act is longer than the second.
Yeah, the first act is definitely longer and a lot happens. But I think, unfortunately, with Wicked and just the way that it is on, and this is how it is on stage too.
Yeah.
You know, we all know The Wizard of Oz. We know Dorothy and her story and the characters and seeing the wizard and trying to get back home to Kansas.
Right.
But with Wicked, when you're seeing act one, you don't know that story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're naturally more interested, like, oh, it's the Wicked Witch of the West, but
mm-hmm.
like, she's kind of chill. Like,
yeah.
what's going on here? And you're like, oh, Glinda, but Glinda's not so good.
Right,
you know, like,
right.
she's kind of
she's
a jerk and a bully.
Good.
And
yeah.
you kind of like go through the story and you're like, this is so interesting. But you know, in the back of your head, you're
mm-hmm.
like, I know Elphaba's going to become the Wicked Witch of the West. It's going to happen. Kind of like, and I don't know why I keep doing the parallel to Star Wars,
right.
but it's kind of like Revenge of the Sith, where you're like,
you know,
I know who he's going to be, and I can't, I'm like, I know this
on
is just going to build.
Seat.
And so that tension is building, like in Revenge of the Sith,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going to happen throughout all the prequels.
Right.
Even in Clone Wars, like, you know where that direction is going.
Right.
Well, in Wicked Part One, you're like, I know she's going to be the Wicked Witch of the West. And it ends on that final climax of like, whoa, defying gravity. This is it. She's got her cape. She's got the broom. She's flying.
It's her. Like,
it's her. Like, it's the character. And if you see it on stage, it's like I'm being dehorse saying this, but when you see it on stage, that moment where you're like, you know, Defying Gravity is coming and you know she's about to go fly up into the air. Mm-hmm. And it's so cool. And so you're waiting for that. And that high, which I go back to the Broadway, I always say the Broadway high, that's when your high comes.
Yes.
Is in the middle of act, or at the end of act one. And the, you know, curtain closes and they're like, okay, act two. And you're
because you're
that
left there
because so
cool. The lights come on and you
you're
can't move.
Like,
you can't move.
Like, it's so good.
You're like, why am I crying? Like,
yeah. It's so good.
And
then,
I felt that way at the theater.
Yeah.
Like,
and
like,
that's why I was looking at you. I was like, I know that,
like,
was so cool.
Genuinely, like the end of the movie. Like, I felt that in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Like the end of the movie, I think, and you like, you can change, you can like push back on this if you want, but like that Defying Gravity sequence in the first Wicked movie is one of maybe the most powerful moments in a Broadway movie I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, for
like,
sure.
I genuinely watched that. We've seen it three times now. That's the Wicked movie.
Four times. Did we see it in the theater twice?
I didn't.
Oh, maybe I didn't. We did probably only see it three times,
I've seen it three times.
Because then we watched it on New Year's Eve last year.
Genuinely.
We're like, what 3-hour movie are we going to take
right? And it was a movie of the year. And that's my thing is I'm like, you are left there. Like, I cry every time. And
yeah,
I think that's why it's so, I just cry. But also like, and that's the meme. It's like, we're all holding space for Defying Gravity. Like, it's just so stupid. But I'm also like,
are my favorites when they put the elf on the shelf on the ceiling fan.
On the ceiling
that's
fan.
My favorite.
Yes.
Personally.
But you do like, genuinely, it's so like, she bodied that song.
She did.
And like, I'm sorry, Adina, but like, Cynthia Erivo, like, that's her song now. And like, she kills it.
She did really good.
And it's so emotional and powerful. Like, every time, I think everyone has something to connect to in that number. Mm-hmm. And it's just this like turning point of like, no, I'm taking control. And you're like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna live my life. Like, I have to stop listening to what everyone says to do. Like, I need. And that's like such a pivotal turning point that I think everyone has hit at some point. Mm-hmm. And so like that in song, like the whole thing, you're like, this is it. This is like the point. And then you have to do 2.5 more hours of movie. So like, they were not set up for
and wait,
success,
there's more.
But wait, and then you're like, wait, oh,
for
so
1999.
but wait, there's more. For an additional 1999 movie ticket, you could see the
for real.
Which,
it was,
you
probably
know,
that
this
much.
Is how much it costs. But I think that, like, I haven't just plain out said it, but like the second movie, it's good. Like,
it is good.
It's really
it
good.
Is for
I'm
good.
Not here to crap on it. But I think that they just genuinely weren't set up for success. Because of the way the story is set up to be like, but I'm also honestly disappointed because I think that what a Broadway medium cannot bring is a closeness, and it cannot bring that emotion in the way that a film can, because you're not right up close. That's why the Broadway master cuts are so interesting. And they feel disconnected to me because I'm like, well, it's cutting. It's like too close.
That's kind of like what we were talking about with Les Mis.
Yeah.
Because I introduced Jack to Les Mis,
the
like
movie
the movie. Because we're actually going to go
so
see it
close.
On stage in
January. Yeah.
Which I've never seen on stage. So I'm super excited because everyone's just like, it's the best thing ever.
Right.
But in the movie, it's really funny because the director, like all the shots are like so in their face. Like so in their face. And when we were watching it, I was like, I bet he did that to make you uncomfortable. Because he can. Because on stage, you're, of course, whether you're in an orchestra as close as you can be or you're on a balcony, probably likely you're in a balcony because you can't afford the tickets in the front row. You know, you're so far away. Like, you're getting to experience it and be a part of the story and listen to music, but you don't have that intimate, like, oh, I'm here with them experience,
that's
if that makes sense.
That's my thing about For Good, though, is For Good, because all of the best musical numbers are in the first act and all of the big ones, all of that. So the second one relies almost entirely on emotion and it's so emotional and it's so deep. It's more character work. It's not as like woohoo fun.
They get to deal with the choices they make. Yeah, I mean, it really absolutely. Is the consequences of their choices.
And I think that's so interesting.
It's, you get to live with that. Like in Act One, you know, you're saying like Elphaba finally was like, you know, you had that moment where you're like, I don't care what anyone else thinks. Well, sometimes that can be like, I don't care what you think and I'm going to do whatever the heck I want.
Right.
But in her case, it was like, this is wrong. Like what he is doing is wrong. I'm going to do the right thing no matter what people think. People already don't like me, so they're going to think I'm going to do it for like the wrong reasons. But she really was trying to do the right thing and sacrificed, you know,
her reputation
that she really already didn't have a great one, but she was starting to build. She had the opportunity to have the best reputation she never had.
Yeah.
And she gave it up. Because she said, I would rather do the right thing than stand here by the wizard who's going to be lying.
Right.
And I think that was the big thing in the second one. And why it's so sad is like, you're like, oh, Elphaba's isolated. She isn't at Shiz. She isn't with all the school people. Yeah. And it's all this fun, you know, dance parties and the Ostus ballroom and all this stuff.
Yeah. Dancing through life.
And then you see Glinda, who definitely seems like it's all put together. It's, she really does get everything she wants,
but she realizes it's not.
But that's the song I couldn't be happier is playing, where she's like, you know, I'm thought I would be happy. She's like, this is the thrill. It, like when the thrill doesn't thrill like you think it will. That's literally like the line.
Yeah.
And it's so, it's also an experience you can relate to, because you know there's moments in your life where you go, oh, this is what I dreamed. This is what I thought it'd be.
Right.
And
it's the tyranny
this ain't
of
it. You know?
That's my, like, my, like, one of my favorite phrases. It's like the tyranny of achieving your dreams is you're still you with your dreams.
You're still you. And she, I mean, she hadn't, again, spoiler alert, she has no magic. She is miserable.
She's a con.
She's literally a con.
She's
as,
just
much
as much
as
the wizard. Yes.
It's
so good.
And I will say that's something I was listening to the soundtrack again before we went on the podcast to refresh my memory. And one thing that's interesting, the song Wonderful, which is the wizard's made song. That is his main song. Like a sentimental man in Act One is just kind of a, whoa, we're kind of.
That's when you can go pee.
You're just trying to get to Defying Gravity. Let's
that's
be real.
That's when you can go pee.
It's kind of like Thanksgiving to your Christmas. You're just trying to get to Christmas. Let me take a break for a second. You know, that that's kind of what's going on there. But with a wonderful, or Wonderful, that is his song. He is the wonderful Wizard of Oz. And in the Broadway version, it's just him and Elphaba. Like, Glinda is not there.
She's not even
there. Like, she's not even there.
No, she's not.
And
but I don't think Jeff Goldblum could have done that song by himself.
No. He let... Yes. From
Let's
an artistic perspective. No, I think he was great wizard. I think that cast was great. He is quirky. He was weird. But he was like... Like, it was
not
great.
Not trustable. He seems like a carny. Like, he seems
he
like
really
a carnival.
A con, which is... Again, the Wizard of Oz, that's the guy that Dorothy came across in the beginning of the movie. I mean, he really is a con.
Yeah.
So, and in this movie, they brought Glinda in. And yes, from a musical standpoint, I think Ariana was kind of carrying the song there. But also, it kind of reinforces the idea that she is a con as much as he is. And she loves it. Like, she actually likes it and tells Fiero that in the first or the second song.
Yeah, the opening.
She's just like, he's like, she's like, who could resist this? And she's
and
basically saying, I don't want to. I want this. So.
And that's what they're, like, causes their drift.
Yeah.
And I think.
And Fiero.
Well,
my,
well, you know.
I was going to say his one.
He had a green booty call is what
we'll
say. But my problem is, my point being, I think that there was an amazing opportunity to hone in on the emotion of it, and I think it got lost somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if they felt pressured to keep up the huge set piece, big dance number thing.
Right.
I felt like it was torn.
It was torn.
Like, it was trying to be the huge production of the first one while also having the emotion of the second act.
Right.
And it couldn't do both.
Also, from a story perspective, I thought, and I didn't really pay attention to this in stage play, because you kind of just are like, time has
just
passed.
There.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But in the movie, I thought, I don't know if I just got this in my head, but we were like, oh, it happened a year later. I thought I had read that somewhere.
I thought I did too.
That was how much time had passed. And in I literally was listening to the soundtrack today, and in the description of the soundtrack, they're like, yes, the story set 5 years after Act One.
That shocked me.
I was like, 5 years?
Which I'm confused. Like, did they finish school?
No, that is the only thing. I assumed. Because
I'd understand if you justified that.
Yeah, I assume Glinda finished school and that, like, they did, and she just continued.
Honestly, like, we might get like a TV show from those 5 years. It wouldn't shock me.
Well, and the thing, and again, haven't read the book, don't plan right. to, so maybe there's definitely some
America.
Holes to fill yeah. there. Mm-hmm. But in the 5 years, I'm like, what did Elphaba do this whole time? Like, right. she just has some maps on the wall, and then it's like,
well,
they
she was
never
letting the woodland
her.
Creatures.
And
like...
I was like, Fiera was literally leading the guard to find her. It wasn't yeah. even like they were trying to lead them astray from not finding her. He didn't even know where she was.
Right.
And they made a point in a movie for him to say, I want to get to her first before someone else does and
right.
kills her.
Right.
Like, what you've been doing for 5 years?
Right.
So my only answer that makes sense, I'm like, okay, you were in school. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But even that, I'm like,
yeah,
5 years? That's a long. I could see 2 years, but five?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like too much happened, which goes
yeah.
back to our conversation about
yeah.
Zootopia. It's like, well, it kind of makes sense. It's
right.
like,
it should,
that's a
like,
long time.
Like, which is so, there's so many random parallels between these two movies that came
yeah.
out. Like, it's so bizarre.
Yeah. Sequels are interesting.
So my question to you is, do you think that this could have been one movie? Because my thing is like the stage
yeah.
play, but I feel like I watched the first movie and I think, what on earth could you have cut?
I think in the first movie,
maybe Dancing Through Life could have been not 11 minutes
well,
long.
Well, you have to remember, like in Defying Gravity, that's only like a, what, 4 or 5
it's like
minute,
a 7 minute song.
7 minute song. But in the movie, it's like an 11 minute
like sequence. Yeah.
And it's like they definitely take their time in the movie and add to the emotion and stuff of it. Sorry if y'all
okay.
didn't hear that.
It's okay.
Moving my mic around everywhere. But if you haven't seen it, like any musical has got it. It's gotta
yeah, it's gotta
keep going.
The pace.
It's gotta keep going. And so in the Dancing Through Life scene in the movie, when we rewatched Wicked right before we saw the second one, I was like, you know, you're kind of in the long haul, like, ooh, this is almost 3 hours long. I'm
uh-huh.
like committed.
Right.
The first act, you're like, this is amazing. Like the first, like,
because it's no one mourns the wicked.
Yeah. You
like,
get all those first
welcome
songs
to Shiz,
and you're like, this is amazing.
The
Wizard
and
I is like one of my favorites.
Yeah.
But the part in Dancing Through Life, I think that's the part where you go, oh, I'm in this for
yeah.
a while.
We're
We've been here a while.
Halfway.
We're going to be here for a while,
yeah.
you know? And so
yeah.
I don't know if that's just a timing thing.
Yeah.
And I think Dancing Through Life is an important scene.
I
and
agree.
Like, but I do think it is hard. I don't know really what I'd cut.
Because I don't think
I think
it
some of
been...
it could have been a little bit peppier of like, let's get
but
going.
But I don't think it could have been one movie. It
but
would have been like 5 hours long.
No. To answer your question, no. I do think having it in two movies was interesting for someone who has seen it on stage.
And the two-act structure is pretty standard.
Yeah.
So,
and,
like...
And it worked. Like, the first movie, honestly, I'm like, leave it alone. Like,
five
we
stars.
Know Act One's better than
five
Act Two.
Stars. Yeah.
But just leave it alone and let the movie be great.
Yeah.
And then the second act, we'll figure it out.
Well,
and
that's my thing is, like, there was two sides to the reviews that I saw for Good. There was one side that was like, why did it get so much worse? Like, what happened to the music? Why is it like this? Why? And then the other side was like, yep, that's the second
yep.
act of Wicked.
That was me. I was
that
like,
is, in fact, the second act.
Yeah. I mean,
and it's hard because you want it to be like another five-star
yeah.
incredible
and it's just,
experience.
It's just not.
But it's not. And
it's
I don't
good.
Think that's the movie's fault.
It is good. And I've told, when my family's in town for Thanksgiving, they were asking, like, what do you think? And I was
yeah.
like, it is good. Like, go see it.
Genuinely
it's fun.
Great.
Like, it's still
but
Wicked.
If you don't care about the story, it's
but
not
yeah.
gonna be your favorite.
And honestly, I think it's split because there are the true fans that have been like, I know what Wicked is,
yes.
I know what I'm getting into. It's gonna be fun. And it is fun.
Yeah.
But if you really don't,
and
you
no
are gonna
deed.
Be thrown a loop because you're gonna be like, what happened? Like, this is dark.
And I also think that, like, listening to the Broadway version and like, there's a couple songs, for whatever reason, I don't feel like hit. Like, as long as your
yes.
mind didn't do it for me.
No.
No Good Deed, 10 out of 10.
Well, yeah, No Good Deed. Phenomenal. No Good Deed is
the best.
I don't want to say objectively if you like For Good better, but No Good Deed is the best song in Wicked.
I don't feel like the movie did For Good the song. Like its own title song, I felt like I wasn't moved.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did Adina and Kristen Chenoweth do?
I'm just going to say it. And maybe if I watch the movie again, I've only seen it once. If I watch it again, I'll feel different. And when I see it on stage for the fourth time,
oh my
maybe
word.
I'll feel different.
You bring your children.
But part two, I think on stage, I liked Wicked part two on stage better than I did in a movie.
Yeah.
Whereas I will say, now I love seeing it on stage all the way through, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But part one, the movie really did a fantastic job where I was like, this is Wicked. Like, this is it. Like, this is great.
Yeah.
But with the stage production, I think the quality and like the story, even though they added more stuff to the part of the movie, I was telling Jack, I was like, I think I would rather see it on stage part two, because it's more fast. They tie it in better.
Yeah.
It makes more sense. Whereas in the movie, so the song I was the most excited for that, you know, isn't your mainstream song, like For Good or No Good Deed or As Long As You're Mine, I was super excited for The Wicked Witch of the East, because that was not in the original soundtrack. I mean, it was always on stage, but it's not a song you could just listen to. Like, you have to go to YouTube to listen to it.
Yeah, so, which we do regularly.
Which we do sometimes. but I was so excited because even Stephen Short said on his commentary for the album, he's like, it's here. Like, we're adding it. It's going to be in there. And I was super excited. I was like, this is going to be so good.
This is the first time it's accessible.
I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to listen to it. And then I saw it and I was like,
it's okay.
That really didn't hit it for me. Like,
and I think there's something to say for when this is the Broadway movie curse, is you need actors, and not the actors will never touch even a touring cast.
Yeah.
Like even the touring casts are like
amazing.
Phenomenal.
Amazing. And the reason I was so excited for that scene in the movie was because when we saw it on stage in 2023, I was like, this is so good. Like, I forgot about this song because it isn't a song that's on the original soundtrack. And so when you see it on stage, you're like, the girl who played Nessa on stage, she was amazing. And I remember looking at you in that scene and you were even like,
we were like, wow.
Like, she did that so good. Like, she was really talented. Yeah. And then the movie, I feel like it was a little
just underwhelming.
It was very underwhelming. And it wasn't as tense, I think, because they dragged it out.
Yeah.
Like in the musical, it is like all like they changed the song, and in the musical, it's all one segment of a song.
Yeah.
And in the musical, they're like, well, we're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to sing a little bit, and then we're going to talk a little bit.
Okay.
And like, the tension isn't really, it needs to be growing because, spoiler alert, Bach, who in my opinion is objectively the worst character in Wicked.
Dude.
Bach is the worst. Granted,
they
that doesn't
do deserve
excuse
each other.
Nessa. I mean, Nessa didn't end up
we
treating him right either, but
each other.
He is, yeah.
And they do.
Bach is not my favorite character.
Also, great casting for Bach, because he also sucks.
Jackson, that is not nice.
I'm sorry.
But no, so
he had an affair on that movie. Like
he did.
Anyway,
that is true.
We'll talk about the cast in a minute as we wrap up.
Yeah. But so his character was just like, you know, if you know the story, like he becomes a Tin Man, which is fitting and is intentional.
Yes.
Because he is heartless. He is literally heartless. And that was the thing, like his whole transformation was he finally, it's like the apex of their relationship ending. Because he was like, she was like, you've lost your heart to Glinda and you're heartless because you didn't even, like, he didn't even tell her that. I mean, Nessa didn't have a great childhood either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Elphaba definitely didn't, and Nessa didn't either. So the fact that he was, like, leading her on and doing that the whole time, and she had suspicion.
For 5 years?
I know, that's what made
Holy
it so much
cow.
Worse. I was like, 5 years?
Dude.
Bro, like, you liked Glinda the whole time? And so, that part made it a little less believable to me, honestly, when I found that out. But I'm like, he got turned into the Tin Man, and that was Elphaba saving him, by the way. She didn't do that to be malicious. She actually was saving his life because Nessa started, you know.
Flipping out.
Just watch the movie. You'll see. But that was one thing. That whole scene I was so excited for to see, because that's the first time you see one of the original Wizard of Oz characters transforming.
Yeah. And I think he looked amazing.
Yeah. In the movie, it was great. So, and that whole scene, like, it was super intense. And of course, Bot becomes this angry, awful Tin Man. He was heartless, and it fits the character, but it just, in the movie, it didn't hit.
I think you've like really hit the nail on the head. Like, it, the tension was not there.
Right.
And I think it
didn't build as it should have.
And so
we're on stage. It's constantly building.
Yeah. And so I think they could have cut like 20 minutes from that movie to make the tension, because it's already 2 hours 15 long.
Yeah, and they added. Now, I will say, I do like this song, No Place Like Home.
Really good.
Of the two songs they added, I was also nervous, but I wasn't too nervous, honestly, because I was like, if Stephen Schwartz is doing it, it's going to be fantastic. Right. It's great. So I wasn't worried about that, but No Place Like Home is one of my new favorite. Honestly, the songs I listen to the most now after the movie came out is No Good Deed, because it's amazing.
Right.
And No Place Like Home, which is surprising, even more than For Good or another
song. I thought
song.
That was a really good tie-in to The Wizard of Oz. That was really sweet. It was justified.
Pays a homage to the original story of Dorothy's line. And it also added, this is one thing that was good about the sequel, it added to the story, because in the stage production, because it's so much happens,
it's
so fast,
quick.
You don't really realize how bad the animals are being treated. Like, you know they're being treated bad. It's kind of the point. So you don't miss that point.
But it's very contextual.
Yeah, but there's a lot you don't see. You only really see the professor who gets taken away, and the lion, and the monkeys. But you don't see how all of the animals of Oz are being affected by what the wizard is doing. So that song was sweet because, again, I think if a musical is done right, you don't just tell a story and then pause and then just sing a song.
Yeah.
That's not how musicals work.
Right.
They shouldn't work, I should say. Musicals, when you tell a story in a musical, the song is telling the story.
It
should be continuing the story, and the story should be moving
should be
along
fluid.
As you're singing. Now, that song, I think, did a really good job of that, because as she's singing, she's saying, this is why I'm fighting for this now, considering this is a few years later. And two, it's also showing what's happening with the animals. And we got a scene we didn't get in the original of, wow, they really are running away. This is a big deal. The wizard isn't just a quirky con artist. He's actually, like, really not kind.
Like
and
an evil.
Like, evil guy. Like
government leader.
Manipulative. So very
manipulative. Yeah.
And, you know, I think they also added to the attention because of Dulcibear, who was, if you remember in the first movie, Dulcibear was the one who's kind of her friend as her child. It was basically like her mother
she
never had.
Her,
And the fact that you see Dulcibear trying to get away from Oz, it was like, oh, like,
it's
this
so
is bad.
Precious.
Like, this is really bad. And it's personally affecting Elphaba. Because those are the people who were kind to her, where no one else really was. So that kind of added to the emotion. Now, I will say, a girl in a bubble. Is that right? Yeah.
It's okay. I feel like I needed it.
I don't think that song, I don't want to say it didn't move the story along, but it did feel more like the song where you're like, we're telling a story, we're going to pause and sing a song because we just want to, and then move on. It didn't.
Yeah.
You know Glinda's already guilty. You know that she feels bad.
I felt like it was more just to be like well-rounded. We're like, well, we gave Elphaba another song, so
we
got
to give one to
Glinda.
Yeah. And
which sucks, because the sequence was probably my favorite sequence in the movie.
Because the mirrors and stuff.
Because I saw the cinematographer did an interview about it, and it was because they shot, and this is just this production schedule is just blows my mind. And this is why I love the first one so much. They shot both movies in tandem.
So back to back?
No. Like they
through?
Were scheduled as if they were one movie. And so she said, like, the
That's
Excel
wild.
Sheet for that is probably off the charts. But, like, she said that the first thing they filmed was Popular.
Huh.
And the second thing they filmed was Girl in the Bubble.
Really? Like for Ariana?
Yes. And my thought is it was probably like a costume thing.
Maybe so.
And also their sets aren't like, they always reuse sets. That's like how TV and movies work. So like Severance season 2 opener, he's running through the hallway. That was shot over 3 months because their hallways weren't always constructed at the same time.
Interesting.
And so it was
that
probably
would be so hard
it's
to do
so
like
confusing.
The most like perky, like fun part, like funniest song to like one of the saddest songs.
Ones. And she talked about how it's a true oneer. They shot it the in and out of mirrors. It was one take in and out
I
of mirrors.
I did think
that
was cool.
Impressive.
I forgot about
and
that.
And she said that she did it with like her kids' toy mirrors and then like another one that was hers, and she brought it to their production meeting and they like blocked the whole thing out with like the toy mirrors.
Wow.
I was like,
that's
so
that's cool.
fun. And I was like, I wish the song justified
yeah,
the
I wish
filmmaking.
The song was a little better. I'll be real. I don't think that was like
super
a
necessary.
Singing thing. It just
but
felt
then,
the
like,
song felt
but
underwhelming.
Also like No Good Deed, 10 out of 10. I mean, she just bodied that song.
See,
we know she would.
I feel like Glinda's reflection song and why I felt like Girl in the Bubble wasn't super necessary was because of I Couldn't Be Happier.
Yeah, she already had one.
She already had her song.
So like why did we need to add that one?
Because that was her song and you know she's not happy.
That's the point
of
the story.
But she's pretending to
be.
That's the whole point. Yeah. And so it's like,
and it's little things like this that add up to make the second one not as enjoyable as the first.
Yeah.
It just doesn't hit as hard.
And yeah, you just have to remember that. And also, you know, I remember finding out that Fiero was the Scarecrow later, like on stage, because he just came out and you're like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And again, that was something also where I felt the tension was more intense on stage, because on the stage production, they had the scene where, you know, Glinda and Elphaba, they're like pointing their wands at each other, not their wands, the broomstick and then the wand at each other, and they're fighting each other. There's all this tension and they're mad because Glinda's like, you took my man, girl.
Well,
and like,
was
all
that
this
scene
stuff.
Supposed to be funny?
Oh, on stage it was funny. You laughed.
Okay.
Yeah. And even on the
movie.
You
remember that so much better than I did.
Well, and in the movie they do that and it is funny because they're like, she starts like hitting each other and they're still friends, but they obviously like.
It's just like
there's some tension.
It's a petty fight. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a petty girl fight.
Yeah.
Like slap fight. It's like, you took my man.
Right.
So, you know, they're fighting and then the soldiers come and of course Fiera points his gun at Glinda and that's when you're like, oh, like he really turned on her. But then they drag him away, which you don't necessarily know on stage and realize, but they're taking him to the cornfield.
Yeah.
Cornfield. Corn?
Cornfield. It's Kansas. We'll
sure. Let's go with corn. I'm blanking out on what field, but basically like a field out in Oz somewhere.
You know, they're going to take
and
him out
And they're beating
back.
Him to death. They're like they're literally him killing him. And in that scene, Elphaba runs away on stage super fast. And then, you know, Glinda goes up to him and is like, I know he loves her. And she basically lets him go. But then they take him away and drag Glinda away. And she's screaming and she says, like, Fiero. And she like yells. And while she's yelling that, she's pulled off stage. And then Elphaba comes out of the middle of the floor screaming Fiero too, because she knows that they're dragging him away to kill him.
Yeah.
And then she starts singing No Good Deed.
Yes.
And doing the spell to save him, basically. Yeah. And that scene is so tense because it happens like boom, boom, boom. Like the tension is so high again. And then in the movie, it's like, oh, there's this little tension. And oh, this kind of goes in and out. And like it becomes
No
Good
Deed.
And you're seeing it, what's happening. But honestly, like, you don't know on stage what's happening because it's just No Good Deed. So you're like, did he live or not?
Right.
Like, you don't know.
Right.
And she's distraught as if she doesn't. So then you don't really know if he lived or not.
Yeah. It's like a dramatic irony thing.
Yeah.
That like shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I liked the No Good Deed sequence and I liked how it flashed back and I like how it like connected the whole.
Yeah. And
piece
in a movie
together.
You can do that because you can't do that on stage.
And that's really good. But also like montage and flashback just in film, I've always seen as a cop out. as yeah. like a so oh so you don't know how to write a story that like reminds me of things, so you're just gonna show it.
Yeah.
And I'm like that I feel like
we know what happens.
Right, we know. Like
we've been there.
Wrap it up, buddy.
Yeah.
It
felt and when the movie I remember being like, we know this but
yeah,
again, I'm,
yeah.
Anyway, I do know the story.
But I'm also but also as a super fan, you're like, well, you don't want like you want it to be accessible because this is the movie version, but right. it's just a whole thing. Unless you have anything else to add, I think we're ready to wrap up
our discussion
on Wicked. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Nerdiest Podcast. Thank you, Amy, for being our esteemed guest.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll bring you
back. I finally got the wife privilege
we'll bring
to be
you
on,
back
so.
As soon as possible. Next time we do Clone Wars or something, or... Next
you
time,
have to. That means you'll have to watch Clone
no,
Wars.
No, I know.
So maybe
Amy's
when that happens,
been, Amy's
I'll be
been
back.
A behind-the-scenes champion because most of the movies that we cover on the show, she has sat and watched with me.
Yes, it is true.
Good and bad.
I can thank the Nerdiest Podcast for the reason I like K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yes.
Because...
Yes.
Jack's like, I have to watch this for a podcast. And I was like, I would literally watch anything else. I was like, as someone who's like, I'm not an anime person and I don't know a thing about K-pop at all. Like at all. Couldn't tell you anything. Is Gangnam Style K-pop?
Yes, it is.
Then I know that. That's all I know.
I'm pretty sure
Gangnam Style is
like sealed the Golden Han Moon. Like,
okay, like, I know that.
Yeah.
But I genuinely, and then we watched it, and I was like the first 10 minutes, I was like, I can't take this. Like, you have to turn it off. And then I ended up sticking with it because I'm not a quitter. And so I was like, we'll watch it. It's fine. Yeah. And then I loved it. And now I know, like, it's probably one of my most listened to albums of the year. So.
There
yeah.
you go.
Thanks, Nerdiest Podcast,
hey,
for
thanks,
that.
Thanks, Nerdiest Podcast. And thank you for listening. If you like what we do here, give us 5 stars on whatever platform you're listening to. Watch video versions on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. All the links are in the description down below. And we will see you for our last episode of the year. Crazy.
Wow.
Next time. Thank you very much. Until then. Bye.